From KCRW, this is Greater LA. I'm Steve Chiotakis with a show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. Thanks for being with us. You know that thing that happens where you turn a corner in LA and suddenly you're in the middle of a photo shoot?
Okay, so kind of have like a little swaggy, like attitude-y walk.
The Walt Disney Concert Hall downtown, the magic of brand marketing is happening with lights, cameras, models.
Get a shot of him just flying over.
Then one of the models decides to perch high up on a wall and won't come down until he gets something to eat.
Because I think it's unfair to make him fly three or four times without getting a little bit of food. And so
Adam Baz is like the agent for Jasper and three other birds. He's a falconer whose client goes from posing for the camera to scaring away pigeons and crows all around town. You just gotta feed him. It's a busy life, but it's L.A. Everyone's hustling, even the birds. Reporter Brandon R. Reynolds spent a couple of days with Baz to see what life is like for an urban falconer and his hungry charges.
Oh, he's such a model.
It is a little daunting when he's flying straight at you.
The trick for Riley, the human model, is to hold her gloved hand in a way that looks stylish, but that'll also offer a perch for Jasper to land on. These concepts aren't necessarily compatible.
But then hold it more out to the side, not like an elegant over the head, because he's just not used to that.
What drives us to chase these weird careers? Well, you know, money, exposure, adoration, and if you're a bird of prey, treats.
This is just the deep freezer of death here, so, you know, it's a grab bag of squirrels and rats and mice, rabbit, quail.
Baz starts a day of falconry by cutting up small frozen animals into bite-sized bits. These mouse heads and whatnot are the currency he uses to pay his birds, who are not quite employees and not quite pets, but something else entirely.
This is whole quail and mice just cut up into small pieces.
This small animal chop shop is inside Baz's tasteful house in Lincoln Heights, at the top of a treacherously steep, overgrown road that looks like where a killer might live, which several do.
So everybody's going to be pretty talkative here because they know it's feeding time and flying time.
Great. He lives up here with his girlfriend, two goats, and a very sweet but understandably nervous dog. And then there are the four birds, none of which are falcons, by the way. There's a young barn owl named Archie, two Harris's hawks, Jasper and Fox, and, well, then there's Kanoni. She's a large East African hawk called an auger buzzard. She's mostly dark gray on her head and back, and white all down the front. Very large, very regal, very intimidating. Kanoni imprinted on Baz when she was young, which means they have a special kind of bond.
I got her at a really young age, so she sees me as kind of somewhere, floating somewhere in between her parent and her mate.
And does that cause awkwardness with your girlfriend?
A little bit. She's not a huge fan of my girlfriend.
So you might infer that there's something emotional or even spiritual going on between Baz and these awe-inspiring birds. But as we drive to one of Jasper's gigs, Baz says no.
And, you know, they trust me, and they're comfortable with me, and they're happy with me. Don't get me wrong, but they don't love me. You know, they're not flying to me because it just feels really good inside when they land next to me. You know, they're flying to me because they're hungry and I have food and they can rely on me for that. You know, humans have a unique tendency to project our own kind of feelings and emotions onto our animals. I mean, I even wonder at times if my dog loves me, you know? I don't know. What is love? How do you define love biologically? I'm not 100% sure she does, but
I saw the way she looked at you.
I think she does love me, but the birds certainly don't.
Instead, he maintains his relationship with Jasper and the other birds using a digital scale. He weighs the birds before every flight. If they're too full, they just won't work for him. He's figured out how to control wildness, down to the gram. But what motivates Adam Baz is harder to figure out.
I mean, there aren't many falconers in L.A. It's not a very hospitable place to do falconry.
To legally own falcons or hawks in California, you need a whole series of state and federal licenses. And also, there's a test where you have to know the crazy medieval names for all the falconry gear. But that said, there are 550 registered falconers in California alone. Most people, though, they just use the birds for hunting. The company Baz runs is called Hawk on Hand. Along with modeling jobs, Baz has a regular educational meet the birds type experience in Ernest Debs Park.
Thank you for coming. I appreciate it. Have any of you guys done
a falconry lesson or anything like this before? No,
right after the photo shoot wraps, we hustle to the park to meet four bird enthusiasts from Orange County. Baz gives a little lecture and answers questions.
I have three birds for you to meet. One of them is currently...
Falconry is a 5,000-year-old form of hunting.
And I regret to report, he tells them the terrible truth about owls.
Owls are not very smart. They're very kind of like instinctual, primitive, almost reptilian animals. But super sweet, very cute. Okay, Archie.
It does this.
So this is Archie.
Wow. Oh my god, can I take a video?
Yeah.
As he takes them out of their carriers one after another, it's like those unboxing videos on YouTube. Except sometimes the boxes bounce around as the birds, and here I'm talking about mainly Archie the owl, get excited about flying and about eating, of course. This is all a unique and fun experience for us tourists to the world of raptors. But for Baz, it's also a way of sharpening the bird's training for the real moneymaker of his business, bird abatement. The next day, right at sunset, we're in Palmdale. The city has hired him to control their raven problem. Hundreds of them are roosting in a park next to City Hall. That means poop and noise. But introduce a hawk or two, and ravens and crows will leave because they don't want to be around birds of prey. And the hawks, they don't usually kill the other birds, but they do get the message.
She's a veteran of the crow and raven chasing world. So what we'll do is we'll just get him. I'm going to put him on the van here.
Okay.
As soon as Jasper appears with his little bell, the ravens all go nuts.
And so now every raven in this park is acutely aware of the fact that he's here, even though he's not actively pursuing them.
Jasper is kind of creating a hostile work environment for the ravens, who just want a relaxing place to spend the winter.
At a certain point, and we don't really know how or why this happens, but, you know, one of them will give a cue and they'll just retreat. And then it'll be just quiet for the rest of the night, usually.
After a few minutes, like magic, the park is cleared. But since the ravens will come back eventually, Baz, or one of the falconers who works with him, has to visit these sites every now and again and fly his birds around.
One of the cool things about ravens and crows is that they actually pass information between generations. And so these birds will remember this process for a long time. And eventually, we hope that every month and every year, we'll see less and less of them.
The relationship between predator and prey is as much a part of LA's nature as the ancient ritual of fashion shoots and high-maintenance beauties with weird diets. That's what drives all the hustling in this city. Maybe it's not love, but it's definitely hunger. For KCRW, this is Brandon R. Reynolds, just trying to roost somewhere for the night.
Meet a music producer who, like Jasper the Falcon you just heard about, is flying high with a slew of Grammy nominations. That's coming up on the other side of this.